Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group third quarter 2013 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, November 26, 2013. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only projections and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those contemplated, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for our products, the timely development of our new products and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us online today are Mr. Gadi Lessen, President and CEO of Strauss Group, Mr. Shachar Florence, CFO, and Ms. Talia Cesler, Director of Investor Relations. Mr. Lessen, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this quarterly call for Strauss Group results. With me today, Shachar Florence, our CFO, and Talia Cesler, our Director of Investor Relations. Let's move, please, to slide number three. This quarter is the fifth consecutive quarter of growth in the group's non-GAAP EBIT, with operating profit up 21%, while spend on advertising and promotion across the group segments further increased. We also accelerated the level of new product launches and innovation throughout the group. The strong operating performance is largely due to the group's international operation. However, all businesses, including Israel, positively contributed to the robust growth in EBIT. Três Corações, our partnership in Brazil, posted 19% sales growth in local currency, with EBIT margins of 9.7% versus 4.6% in the third quarter last year. Três Corações' value market share in the first nine months of 2013 reached 21.4% versus 20.7% in the equivalent period of a year ago. This growth is for the decline in the sales in other geographies of Strauss Coffee. Moving to Strauss Israel. Strauss Israel posted solid top-line growth of 3.9% during the quarter, driven by strong growth at both Fun and Indulgence and Health and Wellness division. Strauss Israel's gross margins were 40.6%, a record for Q3 gross margins for Strauss Israel, and for the first time since the second quarter of 2011, above 40%. EBIT margins expanded to 11.2% versus 10.3% in Q3 last year. We had record high market share at Sabra, reaching over 63% in hummus and about 29% in the total refrigerated flavored spreads category. Sabra posted top-line growth of over 23% in local currency and EBIT margins of 16.9%. According to IRI, since December of 2010, Sabra led approximately 82% of the growth of the hummus category. The international operations of Strauss Water are still a challenge, particularly creating the demand for our products and determining the right route to market. However, we had some initial positive signs in China, as China Telecom chose higher Strauss Water to supply 3,000 water solution purifiers to China Telecom's service centers. In November this year, we also launched a new, more basic and mainstream product at a competitive cost of about $150. As a reminder, we announced a dividend distribution of 157 million shekels, that is $0.0147 per share, with ex-date of November 14th and payment date of November 28th. In spite of this being one more great quarter, we continue to face two main challenges, which we discussed in previous quarters as well. First, the new Israeli shekel appreciation versus most of our other currencies continues to cause negative translation differences of 144 new Israeli shekels in the quarterly sales, of which 89 million were due to the Brazilian real. As a result, we had negative top-line growth of 1.9% in the quarter. Organic growth, excluding FX, totaled 5.7% in the quarter. Additionally, sales in the CIS and in the CE clusters were negatively impacted by the competitive dynamics in the coffee market, as well as the volatility of the commodity markets, coffee in particular. These two clusters posted negative growth in local currencies. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Shachar Florence, our CFO, to discuss our financial results in more detail. Shachar, please.
Thank you, Gadi. Good evening and good morning to you, and thank you for joining us in this conference. As Gadi said, our quarter and our nine-month results are very good. This is the fifth consecutive quarter which we present record high numbers. And in this quarter and the nine months, this is in spite of the strong Israeli shekel that created a negative translation impact on our reports. And as you can see in the sales line, a negative growth of 2%, all of them as a result from the translation. As Gadi said, organically and without or excluding the translation, the company had grown in the third quarter by 5.7%, and mainly due to higher quantities and in few companies due to higher sales price. But despite of the decline in the sales line, and this is true both for the third quarter and to the nine months, and as you can see in slide number five and slide number six in our presentation that you can see on our website, we improved in most of the other lines by double-digit growth, starting from the gross margin, going through the operating profit and the net profit. And as a result of the higher profit, of course, a better operating cash flow both in the nine months and in the third quarter. I'm relating throughout the whole presentation to the managerial reports. As we said in the previous quarter, this is the way we analyze our business, and this is the way we judge it. With the new IFRS rules that exclude the consolidation of the jointly held businesses, the 50%, we think that looking at the company without the results of Sabra, China, the salty snacks in Israel, Três Corações in Brazil, not only it's not accurate, it sometimes can be even misleading. Of course, we are obliged to publish those numbers, and we do that. By the way, in our reports, we publish both accounting according to the latest IFRS rules, but also strictly accounting reports just without the in-consolidation of the 50%, or I should say including the consolidation of the jointly held businesses, just for your references, so you can compare our previous accounting results to the ones that you are familiar. But as I said, we analyze our business according to the managerial reports that exclude only the one-time effects such as capital gain or losses and non-cash compensation. Other than that, all the other results are included. Going through the P&L, as I said, 21% improvement in the operating profit, and not less important, the profitability crossing the 10%. The same for the 9 months, 30% improvement, and crossing the 10% profitability, and 53% in the 9 months, and 70% improvement in the net profit and the profit per share. If we are looking at a bit wider angle, in slide number 7 and slide number 8, you can see the historical sales result, and you can see the growth that the company created in the last few years, and the slight reduction this year, which is analyzed in slide number 9 and 10. You can see all the reduction coming from the activities of coffee, excluding Israel. I can tell you that the FX, the exchange rate, is the main contributor to this reduction in shekels. As Gadi said, in Eastern Europe, we had seen also decline in local currency due to the competition and the reduction in the coffee prices. Also, bear in mind that the growth that you can see, such as in Sabra, could have been even bigger if the shekel wasn't so strong. You have all the numbers, including and excluding the currency translation effect. As we said, despite of this slight reduction, we had been able to improve our gross margin, as you see in slide number 11 and in slide number 12, across the whole company. Since we are publishing Sabra, so also you have also the other segments or the water, Sabra, and the headquarters. Since you can see also the growth in the water activity, which was very strong in this quarter, in the 9 months, you can understand that this activity has also been improved. Moving to the EBIT result, and you can see the bridge with a nice growth of 21.4% growth coming from all across the company, both in the third quarter and the 9 months. You can see also that in Israel, all the two segments, Health & Wellness and Funnel & Dungeons, improved their results with a very nice margin in Funnel & Dungeons crossing the 10%, and nice growth in sales. Looking at the historical perspective in slide number 15 and 16, you can see that this is a record high third quarter and 9 months for the company, with both the actual EBIT and the EBIT percentages or the profitability going up. Looking on the different companies, you can see a nice results of the companies, though the sales were declined and we have seen a reduction in the sales. I'll move to slide number 19. If we analyze the net profit, again, you can see a nice growth. Here, by the way, we paid more tax, if you can look at the tax rate coming at the accounting P&L. You can see that we have paid extra tax for previous year profits. In Israel, there was a law that for a tax-exempt profit that should have been taxed once you distribute them as a dividend. We had the law that gave us a relief, We paid 200 million shekels dividends from those companies and paid 20 million shekels as a one-time tax out of those 200. Part of it went to our partners such as Danone, and the rest, almost 150 million shekels, were paid to Strauss Group shareholders. Those 20 million shekels were excluded for the managerial report. Other than that, a higher taxation that is expected in Israel in future years caused us another extra one-time tax expense. This one was not excluded in the managerial report, so for your information. Nevertheless, the net profit, as you can see in slide number 20 and 21, reached record high profits, both the profit and the profit per share. You can see in the third quarter, 17% improvement in the 53% improvement in the nine months, reaching 2.43 shekel per share profit. When you ask yourself how we did it's based on three factors. One of them is the external influences, and here, by the way, there are conflicting influences, such as on one hand, decreasing in the commodity prices, mainly coffee. On the other hand, we talked about the effect of the currencies that offset part of the reduction in the commodities. The other is a huge innovation stream that we introduced to the market, and I'll review a part of it. The third one is efficiency measures that we made in order to make our forecasting better, to decrease the waste in the factories, to make sure that we deliver our product to our customers in a more efficient way. These efforts are here to stay and will contribute to our profitability in future years. Going back to innovation, you can see here some demonstrations. By the way, part of them are already included in our P&L for the nine months, but part of them will affect our fourth quarter and onwards results, such as the bubble bar of Strauss Water, a machine that can create sparkling water in portionated quantities, such as glass or less than that. You can see that in our salad business in Israel, we improve our competitive dynamics in slide number 25, taking a huge market share, almost 25% increase in market share. You can see that in the coffee, we penetrated new categories in Russia, such as chicory-based hot drinks and also diet balanced coffee that help our consumer to control their calories consumption. There are many others also in Israel in the salty snack, pita chips, a new taste in chocolates, new cakes, and so on and so forth. This is the way company like us can improve its margin, can increase the sales, and by this innovation and in addition to investment in marketing that Gadi mentioned, created the demand and help us to increase the margins. Before I open the floor for question, I just want to hand off back to Gadi to relate to recent events related to the company.
Okay. Good evening or morning again. I ask Mike Avner, our General Counsel and Corporate Secretary, to join us. Mike Avner will be referring to an immediate report related to TPG, which has just been released. Please, Mike.
Good morning, good afternoon. I will simply read the immediate report which was issued about 30 minutes or an hour ago. Strauss Group hereby notifies that according to reports in the press, apparently TPG Capital has filed a claim against the company in the Enterprise Chamber Court in the Netherlands. TPG Capital, just to remind, is a 25% shareholder in Strauss Coffee. The company, Strauss Coffee, has not yet received the claim. Once it is received, the claim will be studied and the company will vigorously defend against it.
Thank you, Mike. And now we will open the session for your questions, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Liat Glazer of Excellence. Please go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on the great results that you presented this quarter. First question, could you elaborate about your growth plans at Sabra in the coming years? You already have a market share above 60%. What should we anticipate going forward, and how will it be embraced by your plans?
Okay, Elias, good afternoon, and thank you for the compliment. Going back to Sabra growth, so I think that the main number that I would like to mention that the household penetration in the U.S. market, not for Sabra, for the entire category, is less than 30%. So it means that 70% of the population only in the U.S. Haven't bought the hummus product in the last 12 months, even once. So just by mentioning this fact, I think that we are only in the beginning of the journey, and if we are going to have the Israeli market as a benchmark, and I know that it's more a visionary goal, the potential growth in Sabra is it's really big, and we are in the beginning of the journey. Nevertheless, we need to remember that we launched the guacamole product, the salsa product, that only 1 year ago. So over there, another way of growing the market. And of course, the last or the fourth category that we are selling today, the dairy dips, again, another potential for the growth of Sabra in the U.S. And of course, I'm putting aside the Obella potential in the other three countries, Canada, Australia, and Mexico.
And Liat, just being a little bit more aggressive, not only that we haven't penetrated all the households in the States, and we can take the salsa as a benchmark, 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't a category, now it's over 90% household penetration in the U.S., So we do not need to get to the 90%, but even with lower numbers, but not and Gadi mentioned all of it, but in addition, the frequency of the people that do buy a hummus product is still really, really slow, twice, three times on average, by the way, a year. So there is a marketing game here to create the category and enhance it, and I think that for all of you, and we might put it on our site, I think hummus is becoming an all-American category, a distinguished category within the food arena and the dips and spreads arena. And our aspiration about hummus is huge. Again, not to mention guacamole, that we had the best-selling product as an SKU in the U.S. In the last quarter, taking market share from Holy Guacamole, which is the number one player with about 40% market share in the States. And here we are, we have a much better product and the consumer vote by buying it, again, in addition to salsa and dairy dips.
Okay, thank you. Regarding Obella, you mentioned in the report that you entered the three main chains in Australia, what should we anticipate as far as growth in the coming quarters? Or should it stay at the same pace that we saw up until now?
Okay. So, in the meantime, and I'm repeating, in the meantime, we are in only three countries: Canada, and Mexico, and Australia. We need to remember that in Australia, we just launched the hummus product a couple of weeks ago. Before, we were selling other spread and dips, but no hummus. So over there, it's only the beginning of the journey. In Mexico as well, we just penetrating to the market and increasing our ACV. And in Canada, that it's a different story. We are importing the product from the U.S. directly to Canada, and over there, we started the journey 2 years ago. So if we are looking forward, we have a lot to do by penetrating the different markets, increasing the penetration, the household penetration, as and the frequency of consumption as well. So this is the three main geographies that we are going to focus, plus the Sabra business in the U.S. for the next quarter, at least for the next quarter.
And just to be accurate on the accounting reporting, Canada is reported under Sabra, and Mexico and Australia are reported under Obela. If you read our reports, there is different numbers for Sabra and Obela. So just for your information.
Okay. And last question, could you say a few words regarding the coffee business, Brazil and Russia? What should we anticipate as far as margin going forward? I know you're entering a new category in Brazil. How should it affect margins and what you see as representative going forward?
Okay. So I will start with Brazil. Over there, as we see, we have a great result. We actually, in the last 20 months, we became the market leader, number one regarding market share. And in the last couple of quarters, we reached the 10% EBIT margin. We believe that as a number one player with a business that reached the $1 billion turnover, annual turnover, we believe that the right place should be with at least 10% EBIT margins. Yes, but in the same time, we need to remember that there is a volatility in the market, a very strong and tough competition among the players. So our responsibility and motivation is to keep, of course, the margins and our leadership. Regarding the single portion in Brazil, it's too early to refer to the launch because we're just starting. Yes, we are very optimistic, and we believe that there is a need and there is a market over there for the single portion coffee. And it's not only coffee, it's also tea. The same machine is producing coffee and tea with the capsules. But again, it's too early to give our estimation. Going to the other direction, to Russia. In Russia, it's a totally different story. Over there, there is a price war between the two big guys, Nestlé and Kraft, and we are in between as the player number 3-4 in the instant coffee and the RNG segment. Over there, we reduced or we declined with our margins and the profit because of that, and we are doing everything to keep market share and tons that we are selling to the market. So just to conclude it, yes, a very tough environment, losing some profit, but fighting to keeping our position.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leah.
If there are any additional questions, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. The next question is from David Kaplan of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I just want to have a quick question. A lot of the questions were already asked, but if we could just focus again a little bit more on the international dips and spreads businesses. If I'm not mistaken, if I'm reading the report correctly, we're able to back out the numbers for Mexico and the losses in Mexico because you report Sabra in the report at the beginning, but I think in the segmentation data, it's all of the businesses together. Am I right in thinking about that way? Is that the difference between the $159 million versus the $151 million?
Correct. Yes, David.
Okay. So when I look at the operating margin for the international business, which is about 14% in the quarter, that's still showing a nice recovery after all the investments that were made in the U.S., up from the single digits last year, and you know, starting the first quarter really this year, accelerating now, continue to accelerate. What do you see as far as your plans for capital expenditure in that business and for the outlook for operating margin in that business, just out to next year, if you can help us out with that?
Yeah. So let's start with Sabra. As you said, we're trying to be as transparent as we can, and in order for the analysts to be able to understand Sabra separately as an ongoing business starting from many years ago, and on the other side to see Obela separately, yes, we provide you with the separate numbers that together create the international dips and spreads segment in the financial report. So as you noticed, our Sabra margins came back, and we are with one of the highest margins, operating profit margins that we ever had. That means that as far as an efficiency, we are in a much better position than in the old factory that we had in New York. Though, by the way, as we mentioned in the past, the salsa, dairy dips, and guacamole are with much lower margins than hummus, then you can understand that with hummus, we reached a record high EBIT margin in percentage in Sabra. With that, I think we almost at the end of the curve as far as profitability with hummus, but we still have a huge way to go with the other categories such as salsa, guacamole, and dairy dips. As far as investment, we had announced the plan to invest in a new factory in Virginia because we reached our capacity much faster with, you know, in a good reason, but faster than we planned because we had a better growth than we planned in Sabra. And we are investing right now in building a new section to the factory in Virginia to double the capacity in Virginia. Roughly, the investment is as it was in the first factory, something like $70 million together for both partners. So do you remember that all the numbers that you've seen in our reports are half of the business again in the managerial reports. You don't see it at all. Not the sales, the EBIT, and the cash flow in the accounting results. So these are the plans. We probably will finish the factory during 2014. Some of the payments will go into 15. So you will not see the whole cash flow within 14. But these are roughly the numbers that are expected to Sabra, and you can imagine that if we invest just such a huge amount in the factory, we believe not only that we can double the capacity, but double the sales. And this goes back to Liat's question before, where do we expect to see Sabra in a couple of years? So this is as far as Sabra. And of course, you can see that the investment, and we call it investment, though it goes through the P&L, we do not gross up anything in Obela. The losses in Obela last year was roughly 20 million shekels on a yearly base. We expect those losses to be a little bit lower, sorry, in 2013, and I hope that by the end of 2014 on a rolling base, that mean that in Q4 2014, in these two countries, we'll reach close to a break even. This is Obela. But again, this is not a forecast, and we are not committed to those numbers. But, you know, the worst you've seen, and this is 20 million shekels EBIT loss for the Obela operation. It's all in the financial reports.
Can you talk a little bit more about Obela, your marketing expenditure there, how that is according to budget, how successful that's been in terms of return on those in marketing dollars, and if you think you might accelerate some of that, and we could actually see some faster growth out of the top line from Obela, or is that limited given the production facility?
No, no, it's not limited at all, and Gadi answered before. We just launched the hummus in Australia. Just to remind you, we bought a small brand from Pepsi, Red Rock, which contained mainly vegetable-based dips, like it's more like cut vegetables. And we continue to operate this brand. But in addition, we invested in a new hummus factory there. We just started to produce hummus in the third quarter. But the big achievement in Australia is that due to the fact that three chains control almost 90% of the market, we have been able to register our product with the three of them. We are still working on the fourth. Working with the chains because they understood that this category was abandoned, and they have a lot of potential for themselves in this category, and we can create, and we can boost this category with them. So they allowed us to register those SKUs, and they're working with us to develop the category, which is an existing category in Australia. People eat hummus, but the products are very, very different from Sabra, and with a superior product, we all believe that we can boost this category. So for the question, our aspiration is to boost the growth nowadays that we will start to sell hummus in Australia. In Mexico, it's a little bit different story. We started from a greenfield. We're selling only in Mexico City, which is not a small market, something like 20 million people in Mexico City. But this one will go a bit slower because this is a completely greenfield operation. And hummus, as the way we sell it, not chickpeas, is a relatively new category. There was very few supplier in Mexico and a very, very little category. So there we will have to build the category, and it will take us a bit slower, and this is according to the plans. We didn't expect things to be different.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available in 2 hours. In Israel, please call 03-925-5937. Internationally, call 972-3-925-5937. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.strauss-group.com. Mr. Lesser, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah. Thank you, Shachar and Mike. The group's performance in the quarter reflects continued strong operating results by Strauss International operation, alongside growth in Strauss Israel and smart cost management. Accelerated investment in innovation and marketing effort in all activity segments aims to build the group's growth drivers and deliver a better, more diverse product portfolio to our consumers in Israel and abroad. Thank you all for joining us today, and I wish you all a happy holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes Strauss Group's third quarter 2013 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.